a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. And what an incredible sunrise in downtown Salt Lake City this morning, Ton.
It must have been gorgeous.
I just posted it on my Facebook page as well as tweeted it out just so people can see just how beautiful it is bright and early in the morning here in downtown Salt Lake City.
That's excellent. I'm stuck in an office where I guess I completely missed it. I've got east windows and I've been so focused on everything else.
On the show
I
this
missed
morning,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, you're probably lucky not to be in studio this morning because Dave Meekum has been threatening to play Let It Snow.
Oh,
that he said, don't tempt him.
Oh, man. I looked up the weather in Key West, and it's supposed to be 85 today.
Well, now that's cruel.
Yeah. So Dave was just, he's giddy about the snow. He told
he
me, too. And, you know, I used to encourage Tim to play there was a heavy metal Christmas album that we would, one time he did play it for me, and then never again.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really fit the theme, does
it? It's Twisted Sister's Christmas. So.
Okay. Well, when we get closer to Christmas, and Dave says he's looking it up for you, just so you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we do have some winter-like weather headed our way, and a lot of people are going to be out in their yards today, getting things ready, putting things to bed if they haven't already. One thing you wanted to talk about this morning is black widows, and are we seeing a lot of those right
now?
I think they avoid me.
Several days ago, I was down in my basement, in our basement bathroom, and my wife said, hey, go get the spider. So I was going down to get the spider, and I just grabbed a paper towel, and oftentimes I'll just kind of try to envelop the thing and then turn it outside so it can go eat some bugs. Well, I grabbed it, and then after I grabbed it, I was like, wait a minute. So I squished it, and I turned it over, and sure enough, I just, with a bare hand and a paper towel, just grabbed a black widow.
Nice.
And so black widows are really common in areas like window wells, in sprinkler boxes, in wood piles, in piles of weeds. And if you have a garden, I used to see them under cantaloupes and watermelon and pumpkins when we would harvest those. And so anywhere that they can hide that's cooler and maybe even just a little bit raised humidity is where they like to be.
Yeah, I'm always glad that I wear gloves because whenever I try to, you know, pull weeds or pull grasses from between some of the rocks that I have, the minute you touch that rock, there's definitely a spider underneath it.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, the black widow is our only real spider of concern as far as a bite being really toxic.
Don't we have like the brown recluse?
No, it's not in Utah. If we do find one, it's been transported in. There is a species of brown recluse that barely comes up into Washington County, right at the mouth of Virgin River Gorge there into Mesquite, and then, you know, that area, barely. But we don't have any brown recluse. So black widows are really, you know, the one that can make you have a bad day or two, but those don't generally kill. You know, there's ever is rare that they do, but you'll have a bad couple of days if you get bit by one of them, is the reason I wanted to talk more about it.
All right, so let's make sure we know people, let people know what it looks like.
So
do I have to turn it over? Because I'm not doing that.
Only after it's dead.
Okay, good.
Hey, come here, spider.
Right.
So yeah, they're just black, and they're usually anywhere from about a half of an inch to maybe an inch and a quarter are the ones that I see. And they are part of the cobweb group of spiders. So they spin webs and wait for an insect to come, and then they will get the insect and suck its juice out, for lack of a better way to put it. Biologists all over are cringing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the black widow is one that you need to watch out for. And what, instead of spraying everywhere indoors, especially, I would encourage folks to seal up their foundations. And so get down to those window wells, seal up around the windows, make sure that your screens are tight. And, you know, if you need to put a little bit of extra, you know, protection there, make sure that your door sweeps on the doors entering the house rub against the ground so nothing can get under them. And, you know, if you need to, if you have small kids or something and it's really a concern, you may even consider putting an automatic door closer on your door so that it shuts. I know my wife has a preschool, and a lot of times I'll wait until all the kids come in to make sure the door is shut, mm-hmm. because they're just infamous for leaving that thing swinging wide open. And so not only black widows, but mice and anything else, you know, can just wander on in. And because we're getting cold, any insects that haven't gone dormant, and the spiders and other things, are looking for someplace warm to live. And your house is usually warm.
Right. You know, it's just that time of year. They want to be warm, too, so they're going to come on in as well. But, you know, I don't often hear of somebody who's been bitten by a black widow.
No, you don't. And the black widows are actually very timid spiders and will try to get away from you. And it's only when they feel like it's the last resort is when they bite. And so, fortunately, they're not really an aggressive spider. And that's why I think we don't see many of them. And, you know, if you do have an emergency, and you know, you can go to an emergency room, and there is an anti-venom available to doctors if it comes to that, but it's rare that it does lead to it. You know, we have a few other spiders that can bite, but usually their bites are more like a very bad mosquito bite or maybe a bee sting.
Right. Most of the spiders I do see in my yard are brown, though. They're not black.
So there's no reason to worry. Yeah, there's no reason to worry. We have some native tarantulas that sometimes you see. They don't really do the urban thing very much, or they're very good at hiding. So we have a few of those, and there's one called yellow sac spider that can give a pretty nasty bite, and you'll see those once in a while, and they can maybe be a little, I won't call them aggressive, but a lot of times if people think they've been bitten by a spider, it may be yellow sac if they're getting some swelling or something.
Mm-hmm. That number to call if you have a question for the Greenhouse Show this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We're going to put a fact sheet up on the Facebook page on the black widows. Anything else we should know about those?
Just seal up your home. If you're trying to control them in your basement, I love the sticky cards that are sold usually as mouse traps, but you put them under your beds, against the wall, behind dressers, behind your toilet, you know, anywhere that spiders might like to hide. And it's a great way to actually catch them, but it's also a great way to monitor. And if you have a spider stuck to a sticky trap, it's not getting off. And especially if it's dead, you can kind of fidget around a little bit after the fact and see if you've caught anything. But those are great ways to monitor, and a pesticide way free to control spiders. And, you know, you can always put more out. And the biggest danger is someone stepping on one or maybe, you know, they do work well also if you need a hair removal system for your legs or something. Those sticky traps, I know that first knowledge. I used to work, someone slapped one on my leg and I had this square shape where it ripped all the hair out. So this is a new product for salons also.
I was going to say there are better ways, Don, I have to tell
you. If you need to, it's getting a little late in the season, but if, you know, if you say have someone that has really strong allergic reactions or something, you know, you can do a one-time spray of your foundation and your window wells to make sure that you've got a barrier. And what that will do is it not doesn't necessarily kill the spiders, but it repels them until it's cold enough that they've just gone to find somewhere else to hide.
Right. Okay, I'm not sure I want to know how many spiders are in my basement with those sticky traps, but that's a great idea.
That's what you, the husbands are great.
Oh, that's what the husbands
spider
are for.
Hunters.
Okay.
Yes.
I will let him know that you have given him that assignment.
Yes.
Before we take a break, I wanted to, oh, so somebody says, what about the hobo spider?
Hobo spiders, about 5 to 10 years ago, we were having like hobo spider hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
And people like, oh, they're going to make your arm fall off, or they'll make you a zombie or whatever. And so far, hospitals, doctors, we have no confirmed incidences where hobo spiders caused anything beyond something like a mosquito bite or a bee sting. Hobo spiders can be more aggressive. And if you spray too much, they are the spider that recovers most quickly. And if you overspray, you select for hobo spiders. So they are around. They are a minor concern. If you sometimes, like 1 in 10,000 may have a reaction to where they get an infection or something. But in Europe, where the spider is native, the European scientists and organizations do not consider them a spider of concern.
I got to tell you, our listeners are awake this morning and they definitely want to talk about spiders.
Well, and I know that we're going to start getting the calls from people like, well,
what about the wolf spider? That's the next
wolf
one.
Wolf spider is not a concern. It looks kind of scary, but it eats a lot of insects. And if you can stomach it, just turn them outside and let them find a place to hide for the winter.
They don't live that long if they're in my house. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just afraid of them. So
yeah, and the problem we run into, Maria, is everybody knows somebody that got bitten by the hobo spider or bitten by this. And they're like, yeah, you know, their leg almost fell off on the way to the hospital. Don't you say that they're not toxic. And so those folks always are out there, but as far as looking at data and actual, I won't say evidence, but yeah, I guess evidence, there so far are not confirmed cases of hobo spiders being anything beyond a nuisance like mosquito bite to bee sting level wounds.
Okay. So about the wolf spider, the person who texted in says, well, what, don't they have that neurotoxin that we have to worry about?
No.
Just simply no. Okay, one final question on spiders, and then we're going to move on. We have to take a break. But next question is, a person's asking about those plug-in ultrasonic insect repellents and how they might work.
You know, from what I've seen on the limited data is a lot of scientists feel like they don't work, the ultrasonic, but people plug them in and say that they do. You know, they're not harming anything minimally. And so if you want to try them and feel like you're having success, you know, it's not like you're nuking your home with lots of pesticides.
Right. And again, the number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse on this chilly Saturday morning with the beautiful sunrise here in downtown Salt Lake City. Thanks so much for being with us. The number to call and ask your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Ton, we have a listener who wants to know, how late in the year do they need to hand water trees now that the irrigation water is shut off? And do they need to water once they lose their leaves? Or what about the trees that they just planted this year?
For most broadleaf trees that lose their leaves in the winter, once those leaves are off, there's really not a lot of reason to water them. They're dormant. They're not losing a lot of water. But the plants that are of more concern are the pines, the spruce, and other broadleafed evergreens that are, you know, planted hopefully on the east and north sides of their homes. So things like euonymus and cherry laurels, mahonia, those, because they have their leaves on them, respirate water through the winter. It's at a lot slower rate, but if there's dry soil underneath, then they can really be damaged. And so the only, what I would do is go out and check the soil, you know, get a shovel out. And if it's bone dry, 6 inches, you know, 9 inches down, then I would consider getting a lawn sprinkler and watering underneath. You don't need to even do the entire canopy, but the majority of the canopy, so that water penetrates a foot to maybe 18 inches into the soil. But it should be the only time you need to do it for at least, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. If we don't get any rain and snow, we're supposed to be getting some rain, would we say Sunday? Mm-hmm. So you could see if that helps out. But once we get, you know, into those really cold temperatures through December and January, if you've watered things in late October, that usually is sufficient.
I know next hour we're going to be talking about planting trees, and you have done a video that's already on our KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. But for those trees that have just been planted this year, do they need to pay extra attention as far as water goes?
They do. So for newly planted trees and shrubs, because they don't have an extensive root system established, it's imperative that those trees also be checked. And so, you know, I planted a couple of Royal Raindrops crab apples in, you know, the front yard area, and I watered them in very thoroughly, but because we had been in the 60s and 70s and I hadn't watered them for several days, they were on the drier side. And so I went ahead and I put 4 or 5 gallons of water on each. And because we're supposed to be warming back up next week up into the 60s and maybe, you know, low 70s, depending on where you're at, then I will check them again in a week and make sure that they are still moist.
The next listener says they turned their sprinklers off this week and they want to know if they should hand water small bushes and flowers that are next to the house for a little bit longer.
Check the soil. And if the soil's moist, no. But if it's dry and they're fairly new, you could. But, you know, let's say you have a little 2x2 crimson pygmy barberry that's been in for 5 years, It has a sufficient root system, and because it loses its leaves, it will be fine.
The next question is, this person bought some shrubs 3 years ago. They're supposed to be the ones that turn red now, so I'm not sure exactly which ones. But they just turned a deep rusty green, and they thought maybe they had to mature a little, but 3 years should have done it, right? Any idea what might be the problem?
It's probably burning bush, and people love them because of that red fall color, but I can't think of... There are very few shrubs that are higher maintenance and more fickle than those things. Mm-hmm. So I would consider in the spring fertilizing them with triple 16 and doing it again. So once in early April and then once again in mid to late May. And the triple 16 will keep the nutrients up in the soil around them and help them. We've also seen that they're not really heat tolerant. We were up in the hundreds a lot this year. And across the Wasatch Front, we saw burning bush scorch. You know, it's one of those shrubs that's pretty, but I don't like the shrub. I would never plant one in my yard unless my wife told me to.
So I have a set in my yard that the neighbor, well, it's right on the border of my yard, that the neighbor planted probably 20 years ago. And they've always done pretty well. So it just depends on where you plant them.
It does. The other problem with them is they're susceptible to a number of fungal diseases, and you will have a line of them, and 5 or 10 years down the road, all of a sudden 3 of them out of 10 collapse. Mm-hmm. And you never know, what did I do wrong? And so if your neighbors are healthy, they're probably in a good situation, being watered well, and they probably are getting some nutrients from lawn fertilization that's helping them out. But I don't know. It's just one of those shrubs that has a tendency to rip your heart out.
All right. We need to take a break for the news, but just one final question on that. Do they take some time to mature before they start turning red?
Not usually. If they're not turning red, there's something wrong with the management or the soil or watering or something.
All right. More of your questions coming up. 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.